Every Sunday when we gather for worship, there is always the preaching of God's Word. And although we've had some additional elements in our service today, it's still vitally important that we turn our attention to God's Word and hear what He has to say to us. Now, if you're visiting with us, or if you gather with us each week, don't be concerned. This is going to be the shortest sermon of the year. Now, please don't go setting your watches, but I suspect I'm not going to speak for more than 12 minutes. It's not long, 12 minutes. So let's make it a really good 12 minutes. Let's focus, let's concentrate. We've been having a little series of sermons leading up to Christmas. We've been looking at just one verse in the Old Testament, a verse that was penned about 2,700 years ago. Now, this verse speaks of a child that would be born, a son, and it reveals some of the names that would be given to him. You can find the verse printed in the order of worship, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Who could this verse possibly be talking about? Well, it's probably no surprise to hear that it's talking about Jesus. This is a prophecy written 700 years before his birth that tells us exactly who he is. Jesus is the child that was born, the son that was given. And in our little series, we're thinking about these names. Last Sunday, we considered the first name or title. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. This morning, we come to the second name. You can see it there in the verse. The Mighty God. A child born, a son given, and he is the Mighty God. If you have some knowledge of Christian theology, you will know that I'm not exaggerating when I say that I could preach 10 sermons on this name and its application to this child. But I'm only going to preach a 12-minute sermon, and I've probably only got about 9 minutes left, so I'm barely going to scratch the surface this morning. Now, I suspect most of us are familiar with the term game changer. Unsurprisingly, this term originated in the world of sports, and according to the dictionary, it refers to an athlete or play that suddenly changes the outcome of a game or contest. These days, this expression is used in other contexts. It refers to a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. It's used quite a bit in the world of technology. A new product or system comes onto the market and it's hailed as a game changer. It's going to radically alter the market. It's going to open up a world of new possibilities. It's going to change the way people think or the way people behave. This is my iPhone, which I'm quite fond of. I really like my iPhone. You know, the first iPhone was released on the 29th of June, 2007. And there is no doubt that it revolutionized the mobile phone. Not that it was the first phone with a touch screen or the first phone that connected to the internet, but it was a phone that was connected to a vast media library called iTunes, and to an online marketplace for all kinds of different programs called the App Store. And who hasn't enjoyed something from the App Store? Candy Crush, the great time waster, or Angry Birds? Did you know that Angry Birds has been downloaded over 3 billion times? What does that say about the world, I wonder? But, now, one might argue that the iPad was an even greater game changer. Average people didn't use a tablet. before the iPad and probably didn't imagine using one. It was something from a Star Trek, you know, those guys walking around touching a screen. But now with over 360 million sold, it's quite normal for us to use a tablet, and it's taken less than 10 years. The first iPad was released on the 3rd of April 2010. As I said, I think we understand what this term game changer means. And perhaps you're wondering where I'm going with this. Well, let's move from iPhones and iPads to where we find ourselves today, where we're counting down the days until Christmas. Now, I'm not going to retell the Christmas story. I'm confident that you know about Mary and Joseph and the stable in Bethlehem and the angels and the shepherds and the star and the wise men. It's a story you've probably heard since childhood. If you grew up going to Sunday school, you know the story very well. But here's the point I want you to think very seriously about. Please don't dismiss this. If the child born in Bethlehem, the child who was laid in a manger, if he is who our verse says he is, if he is the mighty God, that's a game changer. That changes everything. That changes everything for the world, and it changes everything for each one of us in this room today, and I want to tell you why. Three reasons. First of all, it means he is not like all the others. Now, I'm sure you've heard it said that Jesus is there with Muhammad and Buddha and Moses and other enlightened teachers who all basically said the same thing. Maybe that's what you believe. Maybe this is how you get around any sort of commitment to Jesus. This is your excuse. Well, they're all the same, and so I don't need to pay particular attention to any one of them. You know, there is one river of truth branching out into many streams, or many streams running into one river of truth, whichever way you like to put it, all in some way leading to the divine. Well, for a start, that cannot possibly be true, because all of these so-called great men taught different things, and often completely contradictory things. We don't think like this. We don't live our lives like this. You know, if someone was to say to you, the earth is flat, you're not going to say, well, yes, I suppose that's one version of the truth. I believe it's round. You believe it's flat. But hey, we're both right. That's nonsense. Nonsense. We'd never say that. And so why would we accept that what Jesus said is in some sense true, and what Muhammad said is true, and what Buddha said is true, and so forth, when they're all at odds with each other? Islam teaches that Jesus is not God. Hinduism teaches that he is one of many gods. Christianity teaches that he is the one and only God. They can't all be right. They're not all true. We need to think about this and not be so soft-headed. If Jesus is the mighty God, then he's not like all the others. He's altogether different to every other great teacher. And what he says is true. The second reason why this is a game changer is because it means you can't ignore him. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, of course I can. I can just get on with my life. I don't have to give Jesus a second thought. He really makes no difference to me. This religious stuff is for religious people. Well, here's the thing. If Jesus is the mighty God, if he is exactly who the Bible says he is, then you have an appointment with him that you can't avoid. You can try to ignore him all you like. But the Bible makes it very clear that as God, he is the creator of all things and he is the judge of everyone. There is a day of accountability for us all. Jesus will judge the living and the dead when he returns. Jesus will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Now, we talk about meeting our Maker, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Are you ready? Are you ready to explain yourself? Are you ready to face judgment? The third reason why this is a game changer is because it means that He is the only one who can save you. Only God can save any of us, and you need saving just like I do. Now, we're going to stand before Him, and without His intervention, the verdict will be painfully obvious. Guilty. We've all broken God's law. You hold up the Ten Commandments next to your life, you run down the list one by one, and it will very quickly become apparent that you're a sinner, just like me. And no amount of good deeds can make up for our offending. It's impossible for us to even out the scales. It doesn't actually work like that. The seriousness of our sin has to do with who exactly we've sinned against. We've sinned against the Almighty God, who is perfectly holy, just, and righteous. And so the punishment we deserve is more than we can possibly imagine. Everlasting separation from God, outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We can't save ourselves, and there is no teacher, dead or alive, who can save us, because they're all just like us. They haven't managed to transcend the human condition. They're sinners too. They have the same problem. Only God can save us. And He did so by stepping into our world in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And what humility. What grace. What love God has for us. The baby in the manger is the mighty God. He is the God-man. The baby Jesus grew up. And He kept God's law, something we could never do. And then He went to the cross. And there He bore our sins. He took the punishment for all of the awful things we've done, the things we're not proud of, the things we're glad that no one else knows about. All of that suffering on the cross, all of that torment in our place, on our behalf, for us, so that God could be just, holy, and righteous, and at the same time extend grace and mercy to sinners like you and me. If we believe that Jesus is the mighty God, if we acknowledge our sin, turn away from ourselves, and place all of our trust in Him, He saves us. He rescues us from what we deserve. When we trust in Him, He forgives us. And it's wonderful to be forgiven. It's wonderful to have absolutely no fear about meeting Him on Judgment Day. Jesus forgives all our sins, gives us everlasting life. He satisfies the deepest longings of our soul. And He welcomes us into the family of God. Jesus is the mighty God. And that changes everything. He is not like all the others. You can't ignore Him. And He is the only one who can save you. Don't let this pass you by this Christmas. Don't dismiss the nativity scene as just a nice story for children. Think about who was in that manger. It matters more than anything else. Amen.